The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let me give you some background on the situation. My name is John. I'm 16 at the time of the event, in the middle of my junior year. I'm from Asian descent, and I'm nearsighted, which means I can't see far away, which is like a couple of inches away from my face. It all started when I was in my homeroom. I'll call my teacher Mrs. H. Now, Mrs. H was a young woman in her 30s, but looked much older than she was. She taught history, and I have her second period. First period just ended, and I'm just getting into class. As I walk over to my seat, I see a skinny, black-haired kid sitting there. "Are you the new kid?" I asked. "Yeah, name's Kyle." "Cool, name's John. I don't want to seem rude, but you're in my seat. Could you please move?" He gave me this face that a child makes when you don't give them what they want. He sat up and sat in the seat behind me. He reeked of someone who hasn't had a shower in a while. I take my seat and class begins. Mrs. H explains that there is a project we have to do, and it's on famous landmarks and their purpose. This was a partnered project, and lucky me, was paired with Kyle. I thought not only was this going to give me a bad grade, but it meant that he had to come over to my house, or I had to go over his. Obviously, I didn't want someone to come over my house, nor did I wish to go anywhere for that matter. So I made a stupid decision and decided to give Kyle my phone number. Everything was alright for the first couple days. Nothing was creepy, besides from the look he gave me a few days ago. Except for one afternoon, where me and him just finished writing. We both did 2 pages each, and we're going to pick out the highlights from both of them and combine them together. This was a couple of hours ago. My parents were out at dinner, and I was home alone, playing some computer games, when I heard what sounded like glass shattering from the basement, which was odd because I was on the second floor. Being the coward I am, I decided to pause my game and just listen. Not sure what to expect, I sat listening for a good 5 minutes before resuming to my game. Another minute goes by, and I can hear the door to the basement open. I don't have any pets besides from the cat I have, which was on my bed at the time. I mute my computer and turn off the monitor, grabbing my phone to dial 911. This was on a landline installed to my room, which was my dad's office for some time. I quickly told the operator the situation, and she had dispatched an officer. I hear silent footsteps up the stairs. It felt like forever, which was only roughly 3 minutes I hear sirens. I never felt so safe in my life. That was until my door slammed open. I couldn't see much, but only a mere silhouette of a figure. The sirens passed my window with enough light for me to see the face of Kyle. He doesn't notice me, but he hides in a closet parallel to me. I've never been so scared in my entire fucking life. His facial expression was the same from when I had told him to move out of my seat. It's roughly 30 seconds of utter darkness besides some streetlights glaring in through the window. The door slams open and a cop rushes in, turns on the light, and asks me if I'm okay. I scream my fucking lungs out, trying to explain he's in the closet while sobbing. He opens the closet and gets attacked immediately, but luckily, he tases Kyle. I asked the cops why they arrived so fast, on only suspicion. And he told me that the operator said she heard another phone click after I hung up. I handed in the project a week later, because I took some time off from school and stayed at my grandparents' house. And luckily, I got an A. So Kyle, let's never meet again. By the way, I had recently noticed my Facebook had my phone number and address on it. Needless to say, that's probably how he got my address. And without a doubt, I took both of them off and set my profile to private. If you have a Facebook, I advise you to do the same thing.
This happened last semester when I was finishing 10th grade. I am a teenage girl with almost no enemies, which makes this story even weirder. I'm still a bit nervous to tell it because of the person it involves, but I'll just hope for the sake of my life that it does not get back to them. So this all began in my science class on the very first day when my teacher created the seating plan. Unfortunately, this was one of those teachers that didn't want you sitting with your friends. He believed that this was a good way to get us to meet new people, but trust me when I say there are some people who I don't want to meet. My teacher sat me with a boy who I'd never seen before. His name was Al. Right away, I kind of got a weird vibe from him, so I tried to focus on my worksheet to avoid conversation. Yes, I know this sounds a little bit rude, but it was a quiet class anyways, so not introducing yourself wasn't really out of the ordinary. He was the type of person who didn't really have any social skills, and he seemed very awkward. He didn't seem to take very good care of himself either, and even though I was at least a foot or two away from him, I could smell his disgustingly bad breath. Apparently, we weren't the only people who did not want to introduce ourselves, because an awkward silence filled the entire room. My teacher noticed this, and he stood up in front of the class. "I know it may feel weird sitting beside a stranger, but it will be a lot better if you get to know each other. I want you to turn to the person I seated you with, shake their hand, and tell them your name." Great, now I had to talk to this guy. We introduced ourselves and we shook hands. His hands were extremely sweaty, and the way he lingered during the handshake really creeped me out. Most people's conversations ended there, and then they went back to work, and that's what I was hoping for too. But of course, that's not what happened. For about a minute, things were quiet. But that entire time, he was staring at me. I looked over at him after a while because it was a bit strange how he was staring, and I wanted him to stop. Before I could ask what he was doing, he started to talk to me. "What kind of music do you like?" he asked awkwardly. I told him what I listened to, and then I returned the question because I didn't want to seem rude. Then he said in the most monotone and serious voice ever, "I freaking love Nicki Minaj. I love everything about her. She's the most beautiful woman ever." At first, I chuckled a bit because I thought maybe he was joking, but then I realized he was completely serious. I was surprised because he didn't really seem like he would like her music. But apparently, he had even been to her concert. He later told me that he didn't even really like her music that much, he just liked her body. I didn't really care that much, and this wasn't the creepiest part, but it does add to the story, especially later. He started telling me about his other classes. He focused a lot on his Spanish class. I asked him why he liked Spanish so much. He stared at me directly in the eye. "Miss Johnson is the hottest teacher I've ever seen. I love her so freaking much." I didn't really know how to answer that, so I just said, "Oh, cool, I heard she's nice." He said in the creepiest way possible, "Yeah, and she's thick. I like 'em thick. This was really weird, but this guy did not seem like someone whose bad side you'd want to get on. So all I said was, "Yeah, there are pretty good teachers at this school." I didn't think there was anything wrong with what I said, and I definitely didn't expect the reaction that I got from it. Suddenly, he had some weird outburst. "No, I hate Mr. Jones. He's a piece of crap," he said angrily. I had no idea that what I said would provoke him like that. The teacher who he was talking about was one of the most well-liked teachers in our school. I didn't know anyone didn't like him. Apparently, he taught Al for English last semester, and clearly things did not go very well. I didn't ask why he hated him so much, and I figured it might just be best to play along in this situation before this kid caused a scene. I just said, "Yeah, he's my drama teacher, and he doesn't seem that great." Even though I was totally lying, because I knew what a good teacher he was. Once again, this gets 100 times creepier as the story goes on. This kid talked to me the entire class. I was barely even talking back to him, and I was giving him one-word answers for most of his questions. Yet he would not stop talking to me. It was honestly really annoying. But he was intimidating, so I didn't do anything about it. I just wanted him to shut up so I could do my work. As the days went by, I realized just how weird this guy was. He told me all about his problems as if I was his therapist, but he didn't say a single word to anyone else in the class. I think he knew I was the only one who wouldn't call him out for being such a creep, because I was scared of him, and I had to sit beside him for the rest of the year. I dreaded science every single day because I hated listening to him. I never got any work done. He would tell me the most personal and disgusting things about himself. He told me about how he had a foot fungus on his toe, and even pulled out his phone to show me pictures. I was really grossed out, but I didn't want to make him mad, so I just played along with it. After a few days, he brought up Mr. Jones again, the teacher who he hates. I've never heard someone more angry in my life. "You know, I planned on killing him, right? I want him dead, and I wasn't afraid to do it. The only thing stopping me was the law, but maybe one day I'll find a way around it." He said this with a terrifying blank stare, in the most serious way a person could speak. I was pretty concerned, but all I said was, "Well, you don't want to risk going to jail." I really wanted to tell a teacher or a counselor because something seemed extremely off inside his head, and I don't doubt that he would actually do it. The thing was, if he got in trouble for making threats like that, he would know it was me who told on him. If I got him in any trouble, I knew that he'd be coming for me. It would be easier for him to kill me than the teacher anyway. I told my friends about him, and it turns out one of my friends knew the guy. She said that he was a complete nutcase, and that if he made a threat like that again, that I should tell someone. She agreed that he wasn't even slightly joking when he said that. For the rest of the semester, he would ask me creepy questions and randomly swear under his breath. One time, he asked me what my stripper name would be if I was a stripper. I've never talked to him about anything like that, so it was really creepy and random that he'd even ask that. I was genuinely afraid of him, and I really wanted him to like me because I was so afraid of being on his bad side. He was very violent and talked about revenge a lot, and he had a very unpredictable short fuse. One day, we had to be lab partners, and for the lab we were doing, we needed a source of gas. I turned on the gas so we could use it, and he started swearing and yelling at me. He called me stupid, said I was wasting gas. I knew I wasn't wasting it, and he was being ridiculous, but I just told him I was sorry and asked if he wanted to be in charge of the gas, because I didn't want the teacher to think I was causing problems. There was another incident where we were learning about the carbon cycle and how cows contributed to it. My teacher was trying to be funny, and he said something like, "Whenever I drive past a farm, I always make sure to plug my nose so I don't smell the cow poop." Then, out of nowhere, Al loudly blurts out to the entire class. I inhale deeply and say, The rest of the class burst out laughing. I did not, because I knew he was probably serious, and he didn't laugh because he was definitely serious. For the next hour of our class, he told me about his poop fetish. Yeah, you heard that right, his poop fetish. You have no idea how hard it was to keep a straight face while he was telling me this. He said there was nothing that he loved more than the smell of it, and he even ate some horse dung one time. This was really hard to listen to. It began to get unbearable when he started telling me how he didn't even use toilet paper sometimes, because he liked playing with his own, and how he would purposely touch other people's stuff afterwards, because it turned him on knowing that other people came into contact with his feces. After about an hour of listening to him talk about it, I was getting really annoyed and grossed out. I started being a little bit rude, and I sarcastically said, "Cool," at the end of his disgusting story. I soon realized that that was a big mistake. He became really angry at me and started yelling. My classmates were now staring at me and wondering what I did to get yelled at. It was embarrassing, so I tried to calm him down before he made an even bigger scene. I lied, and I said I wasn't being sarcastic, that I actually thought it was cool. It took about 3 minutes of me apologizing and convincing him before he finally calmed down. Sadly, I had to keep listening to his creepy and annoying remarks. But trust me when I say they get even creepier. One day he walked into class late and extremely pissed off. After the teacher's lesson was over, he started ranting to me like a maniac. I hate everyone in this stupid freaking school. I wish I could come in here with a gun and just shoot everyone and then myself afterwards. I don't even care anymore. He said this with his piercing eyes staring directly into me. I was so scared because nobody in his right mind says that to someone who they barely know. I wanted to tell someone so badly, but there was no way I could prove what he said. I didn't want him finding out that I got him in trouble, so I didn't tell anyone except a few close friends. I tried to convince him otherwise and that hurting anyone in our school would be a horrible idea, but that just resulted in him getting mad at me. I worry that if one more teacher makes him mad, he really will act on his threat and bring a gun to school. He definitely fits the profile of a school shooter. Socially awkward, loner, lack of compassion, poor judgment, and not caring about the consequences of his actions. Every day, I worried that he might pull out a gun from his creepy, oversized bag that he carries around. Luckily, it's now summertime, and I'm out of school for a while, so I don't have to see that psycho until September. I'm glad that he didn't shoot anyone, although he did harass and scare people in other ways. There are too many incidents to remember, but I will name a few. That Spanish teacher who I mentioned he was showing interest in earlier was obviously annoyed by his behavior in her class. I wasn't there to see it happen, but he told me that he was planning to take another course that she teaches, just so he could be in her class. My guess is that he made inappropriate comments to her during Spanish, and she found out that he was planning on taking her other class because my friend saw him and the Spanish teacher in the counselor's office. I was told by Al that he was no longer able to take that class. I can only assume that the Spanish teacher did not allow him to take it because of his creepy behavior, and that's what they were discussing in the counselor's office. Another time, he called over the class peer tutor, who was a male and 1 year older than us. He asked for help on a question, but he was not able to understand even after the peer tutor explained, so he got very angry with him. He called him almost every swear word I can think of, and he told him that if he brought his white ass anywhere near him again, he'd get the crap kicked out of him. A few days later, he called the peer tutor over again, and I thought maybe he would apologize. But no. He looked the peer tutor dead in the face and said in his usual creepy monotone voice, "Wanna get milked?" The peer tutor was really creeped out and luckily he just left. And when he was gone, Al stared at me and said, "I like messing with him, you know? One day I'ma milk his ass like a cow." He's seriously the creepiest person I've ever met. Now you know how I unwillingly became the therapist of some weird psychopath who might shoot up our school one day. I hope I don't have any classes with him ever again, because I don't think I could handle it. I really hope he gets some help. But I also hope that I never have to talk to him and his bad breath, toe fungus, poop fetish, Nicki Minaj obsessed ass ever again. Al, let's not meet again and find a real therapist because you need one.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Before I begin, here's a little background on me. When this happened, I was about 5 feet tall and had quite a broad figure due to me playing rugby quite a lot. A little background on Lucas. When this happened, he was about 5'5 and very slim. So here's the story. In high school, there was a guy who I found extremely attractive and cute. I'll call him Lucas for now. At the time, I was 16, and so was he. He was in a few of my classes, maybe 3 or 4. I'd always wanted to talk to him and get to know him, but with me being in the closet, the massive fear of rejection and not knowing whether he was gay, I decided to just admire him from afar, rather than pursue him. As time went by throughout the term, I started to notice him staring at me more and more in the classes we had together. At first, I was happy he noticed me, to be honest, but it started to make me uncomfortable and self-conscious. I pretended not to notice, since it would have been embarrassing for both of us if we made eye contact during him staring. Half term came around, and I wasn't thinking much about Lucas at this point. We came back to school, and in our psychology class, we were paired for group activities and sat next to each other. I didn't really know how I felt about it. We didn't talk for the first few lessons, but when group activities and case study practicing came around, it was a must. On our first activity, I started the talking. He reacted normally, but being close to him made my heart pound like crazy, because he was exactly my type. A few lessons passed of us normally talking about work, when he out of the blue asked for my number. I was pretty much in shock. I asked for what reason. He replied, "Just curious. You don't have to give it." I, of course, gave it to him. By this point, I had completely forgotten about how strange his staring was from when he used to sit away from me. As soon as school ended, he began to text me normally, asking how I was. The only thing I found strange was how fast his replies were, even if mine were a few minutes late. Lucas didn't have Facebook or anything on social media, and whenever I saw him around school, he was alone reading older tatty books. This began to raise the courage within me to ask if he was gay or not, considering how interested he was in me. I waited for a good opportunity to ask. After I sent this text, it was about 2 minutes before I got a response. I did notice this, because the latest any of his other replies were only by 10 seconds, no exaggeration. His reply was, "Yes, does that bother you?" I decided to tell him I was too, in the heat of the moment. I was truly happy that he was willing to be open about it with me, and I thought I should do the same. He replied with, "Oh, cool," smiley face. This is where things took a turn. He began to send 5 or more text messages in a row about where I was or whether I wanted him to go away if I had not replied after maybe 5 minutes or so. But after I replied, he would go back to being sweet and friendly. Half term had came once again, and I was ready to start hitting parties. One night, I left for the party with my phone, but realized the plug to the charger hadn't been inserted, so it was dead. I didn't realize this until during the car ride to the party. I forgot about it and drank until I became tipsy. The party finished, and I walked home with some good friends for part of the journey, but had to follow a path through a reasonably small woods. I didn't even think of being scared, since I'd done it a million times before during the night. But less than halfway across the path, I heard someone whispering in a bush right beside where I needed to walk. I truly felt my heart clench. I tried not to react much, because I didn't want them to realize I was there. The whispering was repetitive and getting louder. I was contemplating what to do. Do I turn back or try to get past without this guy noticing? I had to make a split-second decision and thought it would have been dumb to walk all this way and turn back over maybe some homeless man. I still attempted to walk by without them hearing me. As I was walking, the whispering stopped. The leaves began to rustle, but slowly, as if someone was moving slowly inside the bush. I should have begun to run at that point, but I was frozen in fear of the unknown. I had no idea what was in that bush. It was too clear to me that the thing had noticed me. I remember the overwhelming feeling of hesitation to run, fearing that it would cause it to lunge at me. I waited for about 10 seconds after the rustling, as I stood there. A black figure arose slowly, wearing a black hoodie with a hood covering the moonlight from reaching its face. It was quite short and slim, so I didn't think I'd have a problem taking it. But it lifted its arm, revealing a kitchen knife covered in red liquid that seemed to be blood. The mere sight of this sent me into panic, and I began to sprint straight home. I looked back, and the figure was out in the path, and stood so I could see its whole figure. When I reached home, I didn't take a second to breathe, and woke my parents up to tell them what happened. My dad called the police, whilst I was looking through the blinds in our kitchen, discreetly, to see if anyone was out there. The next morning, we were told nothing was found, but they will look into it. I checked my phone since I'd been away from it for a while. I had over 200 messages from Lucas, exclaiming how, if he couldn't have me, no one could. He then went on to say how he knew my route home, and he'd be waiting to show me how much he was devoted to me. I was freaking out, and I decided to show the messages to my parents, and they gave the information to the police. The first day back at school, he wasn't in. The same happened for the next few weeks. No one really noticed, because he really didn't have any friends. I never asked my parents what happened to him, since it was a very difficult time. The messages were how they found out I was gay, so I don't talk about it much. After asking teachers if they knew anything, I noticed they all became clammy when the situation popped up, and avoided answering at all cost. I decided not to ask anymore, because it seemed to make everyone uncomfortable, and to be honest, I wasn't sure if I wanted to know what happened to him. I'll never know whose blood was on that knife, or whether it was even blood. If so, I assume it was his own. I'm now 20, and in college. To me now, this is a distant memory. I know this isn't as bad as some stories on here, but to me, it was a truly terrifying part of my life.
I guess you could say I am lucky in life. I am attractive, a young female with long flowing blonde hair, and voluptuous for my age. But in other ways, I am unlucky. Let me tell you how. It all started when I was a senior in a New Jersey high school when a creepy and thin kid named Gary enrolled there. Even though Gary was super thin, creepy, and awkward, he was surprisingly strong, and beat to a pulp some bullies who mistakenly thought he was weak. Unfortunately for me, Gary was in my gym class, and he became infatuated with me. I remember in gym the boys wore t-shirts and shorts, and the girls wore t-shirts and shorts as well. But being in gym class, sometimes I wore spandex tights with my sneakers. That was a bad idea. This led Gary to become even more attracted to me. I remember when I was running around the track at gym, when Gary ran up to me. "Jamie, would you like to go out with me?" he said with a leering grin on his face. "No, thanks, Gary. You're not my type." I tried to say this as sweetly as possible, but it did not go over very well, as Gary then grabbed my arm violently. "You will want to go out with me," he yelled angrily. This behavior from Gary frightened me. My girlfriend Donna ran up to us, and then whisked me out of Gary's hands. "Leave her alone, Gary, you heard what she said." And we quickly walked away. Looking back on all this now, I should have called the gym teacher, the school principal, or even my dad, someone for help. But I just for some reason didn't. I was probably afraid that Gary might kill me for doing so. Later in health class, Gary slid next to me as he started to rub my leg. I quickly brushed off his hand from my lap. Gary then looked creepily at our gym teacher and said, "Mrs. Perillo is not nearly as built as you are," he said with a Joker maniac laugh as he started to lay his hand on my lap again. Again, I brushed it off. Great, I had a sick perverted guy harassing me in class. Plus, surprisingly, Gary's father was a police detective. A police detective with a sick perverted son stalking the hell out of me. And all that stalking did not cease just in the classroom. Things happened outside of school as well. Soon later one night, my girlfriend Donna and I took a bus to a movie we wanted to see. When we got off the bus, we noticed that Gary had followed us there sneakily in his car. Donna and I then paid for our movie tickets and rushed into our particular movie, hoping that Gary did not see which movie we went to see. As luck would have it, he did, and he sat right next to me. "Wow, Jamie, you're one sexy young girl. Are you sure you don't want to go out with me?" he asked me for the millionth time. This time I just grabbed Donna's hand and rushed past him as we left the theater. There was one time when my friends and I were walking down the sidewalk together, and Gary literally jumped out of a freaking bush and he grabbed me. I've never been so scared in my life. All of us screamed, and I quickly got out of Gary's grasp and ran away with my friends. It was lucky for me that Gary did not know where I lived or my cell phone number, or he would always be hounding me with calls and things like that. One of the last times Gary bothered me was when I was walking down the hallway in school. Gary pinched my butt, making me drop my school books all over the floor. "Are you absolutely sure you don't want to date me?" Gary asked, leering at me with a wide, evil grin on his face. As I quickly picked up my books and went to class, he walked away laughing crazily. Fortunately for me, I was a senior in high school and I was going to graduate soon, which I did happily. I enrolled in an out-of-state college and was happy. Thoughts of Gary never left my mind, though, and I was hoping I'd never meet the guy again. But life is never certain. Late one night, my cell phone buzzed in my college room. I woke up in bed with a startled fright. I usually don't get calls this late, even though I do have my phone on in case of emergencies. It was a female friend from my hometown. She told me that Gary was centered in a court case. He was found guilty of murdering his then-girlfriend. He was sentenced to life in prison. Apparently, though, he ended up hanging himself in a prison cell. I felt bad for Gary's parents. But to be honest, I felt no sympathy for Gary. He had harassed me throughout high school, and he killed someone. As I said before, life is uncertain. But terrible as it sounds, I was glad that Gary would never bother me again.